At least 50 African leaders have arrived in the U.S. capital for the summit whose theme is Investing in the Next Generation. Deliberations will center on catering for the needs of millions of young people in Africa and the strengthening of socio-economic and political ties between the U.S. and Africa. Some critics believe that African leaders did not properly plan for the event as they failed to come out with a common position on various core issues affecting the continent before attending the summit. According to Professor Shadrack Gutto of the University of South Africa, the African Union does not have a clear agenda at the summit.
That's where there's a problem in Africa. When such meetings are called, they don't coordinate their activities properly at the African Union level so that they come with a properly thought out agenda which they will push and see whether they will get something out of it.
Professor Gutto says African leaders should have outlined a clear position based on its inclusive growth and development strategy, dubbed the Africa Agenda 2063.
I think many countries are coming there just to push their own little small agendas.
At its heart, this new African roadmap emphasizes the rekindling of Pan-Africanism, a sense of unity, self-reliance, integration, and solidarity that was a highlight of the triumphs of the 20th century. Political analyst Ipo Mandaza of the Southern Africa Political and Economic Series, or SAPES, echoes the same sentiment, saying African leaders are not showing any signs that they will present a common position at the summit.
We must go beyond symbolism and rhetoric in defining the relationship between the U.S. and Africa. We need to be more serious. We need to look have a long-term view of the relationship. I think there's not been enough thinking into the relationship that there should be between the U.S. and Africa. It's symbolic. Symbolic and not strategic at all. Symbolic and piecemeal. It's not different from the Chinese position where Africans one by one line up to the president of China. And I'm no doubt next to the Beijing exactly the same. What has been the, what is the context? What is the forum about? What are the issues? How were these issues discussed before the summit? What has been the position of Africa itself vis-à-vis the U.S.? What is the position of the AU vis-à-vis the U.S.? I think to my, if you ask me, it's a waste of time. It's just symbolic. And
independent political commentator Nkosilathi Kanye also believes that the lack of a common position will have a negative impact on rolling out empowerment programs for the next generation set to dominate deliberations at the summit.
It means we are not going to benefit anything out of it. Future is only for the youth. There is no future for the elders. And those other countries which are invited, they will benefit quite a lot in a very fast speed compared to those countries that are not invited like us.
He further says it is embarrassing that President Mugabe has been left out of the summit together with leaders of Eritrea, Sudan and the Central African Republic with a record of human rights abuses.
He was supposed to be invited so that he can learn something and get something out of it and also say what he needs for his country, especially the youth. That is why they started calling the youth first, so that they want to hear what the youth need.
But Dr. Mandaza disagrees, saying the exclusion of Mr. Mugabe shows a high degree of intolerance by the American government towards ZANU-PF. He says President Mugabe's exclusion won't have an impact at all.
They must make a distinction between Mugabe and Zimbabwe, and they failed to do that, the Americans. And secondly, they must look beyond Mugabe with regard to our country. I think the Americans are being very negative in their perception and in their strategy on Zimbabwe. Other countries in the world, the EU, are all moving forward, and the Americans are lagging behind. And that's one of the reasons why I canceled my visit, to be honest with you. This is not about Mugabe, it's about Zimbabwe, for heaven's sake.
Professor Gutto agrees, noting that the exclusion of President Mugabe is an irritation to the ZANU-PF government.
Him not being there will not sound very good for other African countries, because Zimbabwe will say, but why did you go? When you knew that other leaders were not being invited.
And for political activist Maureen Gatemaunga of the Movement for Democratic Change led by Morgan Tsvangirai, President Mugabe has become a political and economic liability for Zimbabwe.
Mugabe has become a political cost for Zimbabwe, and we are failing, you know, to mix and gel in with the family of nations and to trade and to have political relations with other countries, because there is an illegitimate government.
But ZANU-PF spokesman Rukare Kumbo says the summit is just a waste of time.
It doesn't affect us at all. Our line is that we look east, and as far as we are concerned, that is enough.
The United States imposed sanctions on Mr. Mugabe and his inner circle following reports of human rights abuses and claims of election rigging. The European Union, which also imposed the targeted measures, has since relaxed the sanctions, though the president, his wife and a few members are still restricted from directly dealing with EU nations. At least 20 African nations have duty-free access to United States markets under the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, a U.S. law designed to assist economies of sub-Saharan Africa. Africa sells over 7,000 products to the U.S. worth $27 billion. It still remains to be seen whether Africa will benefit from the ongoing summit, the first of its kind held by an American president. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.